Welcome back, everyone, to the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast, brought to you by Six Pack Coverage. I am Alex. These two are Andrew and G, and this is the 162nd episode of the show. How are we doing, boys?
Gentlemen, baseball happening live.
Oh, my God, it's great. We finally have spring training games. We finally have baseball. We finally had the Yes intro. With the music playing that we all wait every offseason for, and they had Soto on there, and it was glorious. And I don't know if I can't remember the last time I was as, like, cautiously optimistic about a season, because it seems like the last few seasons there's just been, especially going into 23, we all knew 23 was going to be a shit show. The last few seasons, it just seemed like we knew something was not going to go right. And the only seasons that really, you know, kicked us in the face were 2019 and 2022.
Because Alex, surely it wasn't the nothing that they did last year that tipped you off.
You know, G, that might have done something.
He said we're gonna roll from the team that got swept in the ALCS. No changes, no improvements.
Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna be better this year.
Yeah, no, and that's why I think I'm optimistic, because we just watched them go through an offseason where, after a season where they went 82-80, they went, okay, we actually gotta make changes, and they did. They went out, they got Soto, they got Stroman. They got Verdugo. Like, they actually made big changes to the roster. And so far, everyone who they added and, you know, the guys who were not performing last year have been looking pretty decent so far this spring.
They brought in a left fielder, they brought in Verdugo. I was going to say they brought in Juan Soto, obviously, but, like, they brought in an outfielder who's played competently within the last 5 years, which is more than we could say for anyone they put out there, including especially disrespectfully to Aaron Hicks.
Yeah, but, like, even then, like, let's not pretend like when that trade happened we weren't very lukewarm on it, right? Like, I know what you're saying. Yes, they did make an area of improvement, but it didn't feel like, oh wow, look at the Yankees trying to get better. At least for me Verdugo was kind of just like, okay.
The Verdugo trade really pissed us off in the moment, because they traded for Verdugo before they traded for Soto.
But were the talks already, like, were the rumors out that they were already talking with the Padres?
I think it was, but then they traded for Verdugo, and we were all just sitting here like,
there's the contingency.
There's the contingency. They're not getting Soto. They just went out and they just desperately got a guy who's going to put up a 740 OPS, and we're just going to have the same problems that we've had recently.
Yeah. Somewhere so go back here.
The Jacob. Oh, no, I was going to say, somewhere along the line there, Brian Cashman did say more than one occasion that he wanted to get at least one left-handed hitting outfielder, and probably more. And then he did both. So.
And then he got three, so.
I was just saying, go back to your original question. Like, I'm not – I know you said I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm such a jaded fuck that
You're the most negative fan I know. And, like,
yeah, but you know what? It comes with so many years of just being smacked in the face.
Oh, I know.
And again, remember, we got a few years on you. So, like, I was exposed to the dynasty in the late 90s. And, like, when that's all you know, then all of a sudden the team never lives up to that again. That's a weird, like, fans aren't me when their team just sucks and they randomly win one time, right? Because they had no expectations their whole life and then they win. We were put into fandom thinking just like, this is it. The team wins every year.
This is what happens.
Who's going to play in the World Series this year?
Yeah, you grew up thinking that, like, the World Series was essentially the Yankees and a random National League team.
That sure felt that way, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I think the fact, like, to go back to my thing of saying you're negative, Andrew, the fact that you are...
This is the Rip on Andrew podcast?
No. Welcome to the Everyone Roast Andrew podcast. No, like I was saying, the fact that you are somewhat optimistic, that you have a better outlook on the off season than you have in a while. Sure. Shows a lot. Like,
no, I definitely think they had a better offseason. Don't get me wrong, right? That's not the question. The question is, am I going to allow myself to actually get excited because of it? Or is it just going to be, yeah, they made tangible improvements, but at the end of the day...
Yeah. I see, my thing is, I want to be excited. I want to have a season where I go out and I want to watch 150 baseball games. Because you look at last season, I miss... being like, okay, what am I going to do? Because I know I'm going to be watching the game tonight, but what am I going to be doing while I'm watching the game? Yes. You know, you want to plan your schedule around the Yankees game. Where last year, I went, all right, yeah, I'll do this. And the game wasn't even a thought.
Yeah, I just started.
Especially for the last, 2 months of the season, it was pretty brutal.
Honestly, by the time you got to, the All-Star break, and they were... okay, they were just dangling on the edge, and then you get to the trade deadline at where everyone was saying, okay, they have to make a decision, they have to do something, they have to either sell or they have to go out and they have to get someone big, they have to make some big changes. Middleton. I'll kill you.
All right, stop that.
And they went out and they got
Keenan Middleton. The last 2 months of the season, we had to watch. So help me out here. Austin Wells, Everson Pereira.
I mean, as fun as having a roster of...
Dominguez, Dominguez for literally 5 minutes.
2 weeks. And then,
other players. They started a lineup for the last 2 months of the season that was literally five AAA players.
Yeah. And it was rough. And you think about it, they were starting AAA guys too because their roster, their starting pitching and their bullpen were in such bad shape. All the guys they traded to the Padres for Soto starting with Vasquez and Brito and King, who was fantastic. And
poor one out for Michael King, who's
Padres
organization ain't doing great. So poor one out for Michael King.
Hey, they signed Wandy Peralta. Let's give him some credit here to the world's weirdest contract.
The opt out after every year.
Yeah.
Insert the Yankees contract for Britain was pretty odd.
That was weird too. No, I don't understand why teams don't put opt-outs into contracts more.
The Padres have no money, so they're like, we're just gonna
But
hope that he's awesome, and then we can go and be like, bro, please opt out.
say a guy like Bellinger, okay, who just signed with the Cubs for three years, $80 million. Why would you not do something, or even Snell, okay? He's a question mark. Because he has two Cy Young seasons under his belt. We're not questioning his talent. But his other seasons, he was just he was above average, but he was not elite. So why would you not give him a long-term contract, but put a bunch of opt-outs in there so that...
Well, you know why the Yankees aren't going to do that, right?
No. I'm just saying in general. You can you give him a long-term deal where you can spread out the money. You could give Blake Snell $180, $190 million if you spread that out over 7-8 years. But you also have opt-outs, 5 or 6 opt-outs in there. So that if he has a good year, he leaves. And you don't have to deal with the contract anymore. If he doesn't, then you have a chance for him to rebound, and he can opt out again.
It makes sense.
It makes sense. There's got to be some type of reasoning behind it, because we've already seen a lot of contract weirdness with the Ohtani contract. So it obviously teams are willing to kind of bend the rules and do some weird things with contracts, like the Ohtani contract, where $680 million are deferred, and the Wandy Peralta contract. He's making
$40 million in sponsorship money every year.
Yeah. Well, and you think about it,
everyone has that pull.
Yeah, he's going to be making so much money as it is.
To do apparently is deal with Scott Boras's bullshit anymore. If we want to digress further,
honestly, I don't think anyone is.
Because we will next. We will next offseason. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
True.
Soto's going to end up signing for 4 years.
Going back to what we were actually talking about,
This devolved fast.
As much as I would love to talk about Wandy Peralta for the next however long. I wasn't necessarily thinking, I mean, obviously Juan Soto, and that's really exciting, and I wasn't necessarily thinking about it. And then I saw the lineup for tonight, and the top six was DJ, Glaber, Rizzo, Stanton, Verdugo, Volpe, and I was like, man.
That's going to be, look, it's gonna be a like, solid top six when Judge gets his toe like, surgery.
That's the game where he's going.
Yeah, I was like, man. It wouldn't. It's not going to look that bad when you put Soto and Judge back in there.
Mm-hmm.
Put Austin Wells batting like eighth or something. I don't even care. Like it's yeah, not
well, as long as, more... as long as these guys aren't pumpkins, right? Like they said, they liked DJ second half of 2023. If he can carry that over into this year, then you have your leadoff spot. Like no question.
That's and also, if he can get a second year bump from Anthony Volpe and not having bat 200 this year.
Right. And then you drop in what Verdugo was producing, which is already improved. Like
it kills me because this is where the hope is coming from. Because it's not guaranteed. There's like six guys that were sitting here going, okay, they're giant what ifs, but if the scales tip in our favor, could be a really good offensive team. DJ, even if DJ turns the clock back to 2021 and he hits 270 with 15 home runs, that's fine.
Yep, probably not in the Leo spot.
No, Judge and Soto are the two rocks. What they're going to do if Judge is healthy.
Wait, so we were talking about the lineup tonight. The game did just end in a tie, a 0-0 tie. The Yankees.
Ooh, that's a thriller right there. Yes.
Not much to speak of. I think it was a Stanton opposite field single in like the second or third inning, and then Volpe had another hit. You very rarely see 0-0 ties in spring training, but the Yankees did get a decent chip in from a lot of important guys this year, right? Clayton Beter, Ian Hamilton, Ron Marinaccio combined for the first, what is that, six innings? I know, again, it's spring training. I'm not saying that. But like, we hadn't seen, I don't think this was Ron's first outing, right?
Maybe his second.
Look good today.
Hamilton, I think this was his second.
Hamilton is going to be the same thing. Like, I know what he's capable of. I don't want to ever say he's going to, I don't know, maybe he peaked with us last year if he's 85% of that.
If he comes out and he puts up like a 3.5 ERA, and
I'm worried about the injury again. He had that groin injury, so as long as that's in the rearview mirror, then
Yankees come up with those guys who are just like random.
It's just if the guys who are injury risks stay healthy and the guys who were bad last year rebound, this is going to be a good team. But how do we know?
How confident do we feel like?
That's got Scott F. Russell's a real person, not very.
I think
DJ LeMahieu is the everyday third baseman.
It's gonna happen.
I think so.
Well, where I mean, do you no, he from? Is. I'm just saying that, like, unless
where they put him today, because
third base. Yeah, like
I think
Oswald Peraza was playing there every day.
But he's not playing second base at all.
No, I think they're committing to DJ at third because they don't. It's not exactly like they want DJ at third, but they don't really have anywhere else to put him.
No, they don't.
And you're stuck with that contract.
They don't have anyone else to put there at third base.
And they have DJ on the books for another 3 years. So they have to put him somewhere. Yeah, but that
contract's not terrible.
It's not. And I think after this year, if/when Glaber walks, they will probably slide him back over to second.
When they trade him to Antarctica for
what's like his range gonna be at like 37?
I mean, he's what are you gonna do? Stick him at first?
I don't know. I'm always weird about putting aging guys like that. Like he's not a fast guy to begin with, right? Like Jose Altuve when he's 38 is probably fine in second base, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like how old is he right now? Tiny he's 35 legs, now. Definitely. Yeah, 2 years down the road. Like, is he gonna have a lot of range at second base? Like, he could probably hold down the position competently, but like
he's starting to it might be better to keep him at third then. Because he's a decent he's okay at first, but at the same time, like you don't want to have your primary first baseman be DJ LeMahieu. And if he's 37, like you can't have that be your DH because Stanton's gonna be, you know, a husk.
Yeah, it's not a first week of spring training conversation, but after Rizzo leaves, I'll be fascinated or terrified of what happens at first base. Anyway, we were like so optimistic, and we're like, actually, everything sucks.
And now we're talking about all the problems that could arise.
Things are going to be pretty fucking awful.
That's the problem with this team right now. It's because there's so much optimism and there's so much potential, but this could also
chinks in the armor and then falls apart.
Exactly. All of a sudden, we could just have a bunch of arrows.
Anthony Rizzo's brains again, then you know we might not be in.
Yeah. Or all of a sudden, Stan pulls a hamstring, and next thing we know,
they have the depth to weather the storm. I don't know.
They don't have the pitching depth. That's the biggest problem.
Before we go on talking about how Yankee Stadium is going to get struck by lightning or something like that, why don't we just talk about the results of the game so far?
You just did.
Yeah, but like, just that was just tonight's game. I meant like in general.
The games.
Games.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, overall, I am happy. I've liked what I've seen from the pitching, especially. Because through the first, like, 2 weeks of spring training, no one's going to be pitching out of their mind. It's more just about their mechanics. And
the only rough outing was Stroman?
And Stroman's wasn't even that bad.
I guess even Cortez kind of ran out of steam at the end. But yeah,
but again, this is their first time pitching. Months.
You're not throwing out the panic alarm because they gave up two runs in three innings.
What really kind of set off like not warning flags, but like just
concern.
I guess concern was Rodon because his stuff looked really good, but he walked
four guys, I think.
He only walked two guys. I think he hit one.
Oh, yeah, it was a hit.
You know, I swear I saw people say that he was hitting like 97 when he first started throwing.
And he was. His velocity was up there. And the problem with him is that I don't know what to expect from him.
Yeah,
same. He has the stuff. He can go out there and be a 200 strikeout guy. But at the same time,
he's a top 20 starting pitcher in baseball.
But he was just so bad last year. And he is on this team for another 5 years. So he, I think, outside of, you know, Judge and Cole and Soto, he's arguably the most important player on this team. I think
it's the linchpin between
he can make or break this season. If Rodon returns to what he has been when he's been healthy, which is a top 20, 25, 30 pitcher in baseball, the top two, three, honestly, of Cole, Rodon, Stroman is in the conversation for like the top three part of a rotation in baseball. But if all of a sudden he just craps out, then I don't know. I don't know what they do. Like,
right, you can't. Everyone else moves up.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have to go and get like a Brandon McCarthy type. Just, hey, fill our fifth spot. And if you're better, just awesome.
Get some innings. Yeah. Hope that you are better somehow. Go out there and get like a Kenta Maeda from the Tigers and just hope for the best. God.
Tigers are going to be very hot.
Whispers into the void. Go get Blake Snell for a 2-year contract.
They're not going to do it. The Blake Snell thing's not going to happen because there's multiple draft picks and international pool money involved, plus a $30 million contract cost.
And the luxury tax. Yeah.
They're already at the max. So going over even more doesn't change anything. Yeah, but because of the tax impact of it,
it's not going to happen. No matter what people say. And because of that, Montgomery's not going to happen either. But
I just hope he doesn't go to Boston because that would suck.
Who? No one gives a shit about like Boston. Montgomery, he can go to Boston.
You mean Boston?
The annoying as shit. He's awesome every time we face him.
Yeah, but Boston's the team that's out there going, yeah, sorry, we can't afford anyone.
Yeah, why?
Because their owner is a loser. Next question.
Fenway Sports Group.
That's
just one guy, and they own everything.
Yeah. Anyway, that stopped us in our tracks. The Red Sox are bad. I'm not worried about Aaron Judge. Apparently he had a thing today, but I'm not worried about him.
We didn't have a thing today. He just hasn't played since the first spring training game. So it was like a mini, something going on?
What's going on here? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so they showed him obviously taking that photo in the game tonight. And he looked
You think about it though, it's not, I don't think it's that much of a cause for concern because right now,
they only play
one game. Right. I would say
he played six games.
Soto's only played two games.
But he played back to back days after his first.
Yeah. Game.
Like Judge,
I don't know,
does his own thing, right? He's played in, like, he always gets his own kind of coaching and stuff. I have no concern whatsoever. He's hit, 99 or 101 home runs in his last, 250 games. Like, I don't have any reason to worry about him. And I think they're probably just bringing him along slowly, right? Calendar hasn't even...
I hope so.
All right, I'm a liar. By the time people listen to this, the calendar will, in fact, have flipped to March. So,
by the time people listen to this, it'll be announced that Aaron Judge is having toe surgery.
On March 14th.
Stop. Don't do that to me.
Yeah. So, I'm not super concerned. Like, even... Soto only has four at bats or something to his name so far. So,
but three walks. Are you counting those?
No, I also didn't mention the home run that he hit opposite field off the scoreboard, but I was getting there.
He hit off the wall the next day.
Yeah. All right. Juan Soto's
you
awesome.
You want to talk about how awesome Juan Soto is?
Yeah, let's do it. That's the thing. We gave people the nugget of how excited we were. Now we have to talk about it. Aaron Judge is going to be fine. Yeah, that's true. We're just talking ourselves.
Judge is going to be fine. Soto's going to be great.
Has a career
for Vivas,
all right,
second base of the future.
Okay, as much as we overreact to Yorby Vivas, I mean, he looks good.
He does.
You got to give him credit. Like, he looks really good, and he's one that I imagine he probably will get called up at some point. Not immediately. I don't.
22 years old.
What
did stop, he, where stop talking did, about think he's a highly rated prospect. He's just a guy in our system.
Where did he play last year? Hang on. I'm not sure if it was.
I think it was wherever the Dodgers AAA was.
It was. No, I know that. It was mostly AA, and then he played AAA.
Was that okay?
He was not great in AAA. He 226, 339 on base percentage, slugged 294. That's not very good.
Slugging 294, yikes.
Not very good.
Yeah.
He's gonna be the second baseman in the future.
Yeah, he definitely is not making the team. So before people are like, oh my god, he's gonna make the team, second baseman in the future. He's not going anywhere.
No, look, the Yankees, I don't know if you saw that interview I posted where Kike Hernandez said it was between the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Yeah.
So that tells me that the Yankees are looking for a utility type player. Yeah. So he's a middle infielder. That's it. Done. Like, they want the utility guy.
Yeah.
That's who's that guy they claimed the other day?
Jermaine Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he plays that role too. So.
Yeah. And you have a guy like Oswaldo out there, but I think they also want another type of guy who can play outfield and infield, which is why they would go after someone like Kike Hernandez, because he can play both. They want as much insurance as they can for people who can play multiple positions.
Hear what he said, though? And he was actually really thorough about it. He was talking about how the Dodgers could give him more starts because they have a lot of left-handed hitters, and he's righty, and they can mix him in, whereas the Yankees are already more on right. I know they added left-handed hitters this year, but he wouldn't get as many opportunities.
Oh yeah,
as a platoon guy for anyone else. That I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. That he knew was a right hitter.
It was
the money was equal. Everything else, like, they're both.
It was really interesting how in depth he went into it, because you don't get that a lot. You don't get a lot of transparency from guys.
No, it's just like, oh, this guy gave me the most money. Done.
Yeah.
But also, he has his house out there. He's been on the team twice, two different stints. Yeah. He doesn't have to worry about moving in the offseason. Like, that all.
Yeah. And you can't, you can't blame him for going to the Dodgers.
No.
Because he was he was there for a while. And now it's like, all right, do I want to stay here where I basically lived the majority of the last decade? Or do I want to go to the other side of the country?
Well, here's the thing. I was just going to say, the fact that the Yankees are even in the conversation, right? Like, the Dodgers should have been a slam dunk. It should have been like, oh, wow, I had no idea. Like, and then we're finding out the way he described that the Yankees were actually pretty close. That alone.
Here's an idea. They want a utility infielder type. They have DJ LeMahieu. Go out. sign Matt Chapman. Have him be your third baseman. Put DJ in utility role.
What are you going to do? You're going to put Lyle Overbay right field bullshit with him?
Yeah, why not?
You're going to say utility. He's got to play outfield somewhere. Or catch. Can he catch? You want to catch?
Eh, the defense is fine.
Yeah, we have
DJ's fine. He can't be worse out there than Carlos Beltran was.
You're never gonna put DJ in right field. Stop that conversation right now.
I am manifesting it right now. DJ LeMahieu for right field 2024. Make it happen.
Hey, Jorge Posada played second base once.
That's true. Russell Martin played shortstop.
Like Gary Sheffield in the Red Sox game in July 2004 played third base.
Brian Mitchell played first base.
Come on.
I only remember that because Gary Sheffield made a nice pick at third base and then airmailed it like 15 rows into the stands when he made the throw to first base. All right. Enough about that. We're talking about Juan Soto again.
Sure. So what's the contract?
I was going to say his pants weren't see-through, thank God, when he did the Soto shuffle, but... Yeah, he hit a home run, and he's awesome. And I am a little curious as to... Still, I mean, I guess the thing to look out for that I'm going to be looking out for is, like, as more of the regular dudes start to play regularly, like... Where Stanton's going to play, where Soto's going to play, where Trent Grisham is going to get sprinkled in. Aaron Judge is going to play right field. You're not going to displace Aaron Judge from right field. So, like, Verdugo, how frequently, whatever, fuck him. He should be playing right field. How frequently all that stuff goes around, I guess, is the thing that I'll be looking out for in spring training because the infield is pretty settled and unexciting. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's not going to be any surprises with the infield. The outfield is going to be a lot of rotating things because you're going to see Verdugo in left. Soto's probably going to get his share of time in left. Judge is going to be playing center or right. They're probably going to try and get Stanton out there and play right a little bit in games. We talked about that last time,
but Stanton does look good.
Yes.
Yeah. But how much do you want to push that, or do you want to just use...
The problem is, I don't want to push the times where he's played the outfield. He said the times when he's playing the outfield are when he feels the best. So,
I
want to give him a shot out there because it's not like the guy has been a bad outfielder in his career.
No, coming the to only the only issue reason, was that he's not as good a right fielder as Aaron Judge.
Yeah, but that's the problem. The only reason that he has become such a, you know, bat-only player now, which he wasn't even a bat player last year, was because the Yankees made him a DH. He could have been an outfielder. He had the athleticism after 2017. I mean,
they did put him in left field for a while, but, like, it didn't.
Did he get hurt one spring training?
He always got hurt. That was the whole point. That was the point. Brian Cashman didn't say that shit for nothing.
Probably makes it out of camp and then blows it in like game eight.
Yeah. 2019, him and Andujar blew it in game four.
Yeah, I mean, he had those.
Jesus Christ. We were before, down so bad.
I mean, he's obviously a very strong guy. He just always had those, like, you even saw the comparison photos from like last year, this year. He has this like gigantic tree trunk legs. Like,
yeah, but you saw the hit today. It looks like he's. Smooth, power still there.
If he can have more hits like the single that he had today, then I think the Yankees are in much better shape.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to hit
50 home runs, but he can just hit for like a 250 average or close to that.
He doesn't.
The best availability is availability.
The best thing about the Soto trade is that it also takes a lot of pressure off of Stanton to provide power. Yes. Because you think about it, last year, the Yankees' power was Judge. Stan would connect every now and then. Rizzo was dead after
105 games.
This was awesome June. Early in the year and then trash.
Yeah. So it's like after June last year, it was basically Judge when he came back and Stan
Piper Rain.
Yeah. Stan, hopefully, if he hit the ball. So now that they have Soto, they have two guys who you know are going to connect for probably, you know, minimum 30 home runs each. And that allows Stan to just kind of relax more and be like, okay, I don't have to be the one to hit the ball out. I can hit the ball. I can hit a single to right. If I get a ball on the outside part of the plate, I don't have to try and yeet the ball into the left field seats and end up just popping out to short.
I said it last time, but I'm probably, I would love to see one of those guys batting behind Stanton. Like, I would love to see Stanton get some protection from those guys, but I just will be fascinated
to
put the lineup together.
The problem with that is that Stanton doesn't walk as much as Judge and Soto. And
I don't want him to walk. I want him to hit the ball.
Yeah, but that's why you put
him. Kind of go one of the same. You got to take walks to get more pitches.
Yeah, exactly. So if you, I do like the idea of having a lineup that's like, you bat DJ leadoff and then do Stanton second. And then do, but then at that point, you're taking up bats away from one of Judge or Soto because you're putting one of them in cleanup.
Second, no, don't even.
You don't want to, like, if you move like Stanton up in
Judge,
the lineup,
Soto, Stanton, Rizzo, or something like that.
I think they'd almost prefer Verdugo in the two spot than Stanton.
Yeah. And that's the problem because you're not going to bat one of them leadoff. You could bat Judge leadoff, but that takes away from his ability to drive in runs. Like, that just means he's going to be on
DJ
base.
Leadoff
that's the thing. At least for me personally, I like the idea of having someone who's just going to get on base leadoff. And then after that, you just put all your guys who are going to drive in runs. So, but to go with that, if you put Stanton 2 or 3, you're moving one of Judge or Soto to clean up, and you can't do that. You got to have them 2 and 3 no matter what.
Yeah.
Because those are your two most important guys. You got to give them the most at-bats possible. It's like how the Phillies lineup construction always has Bryce Harper batting cleanup, and I can't stand that. Yeah. It makes
so
no
clearly
sense.
Clearly the solution is batting Stanton leadoff.
All right, yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, so G's not on the pod anymore.
Yep, you know, G, you had a good run.
I'm going out. I'm going to go out. I'm going to say all the shit that I always have to say. Brett Gardner sucks.
Ladies and gentlemen, the season is back.
We are so back.
All right, I think we can wrap it up here, though. What do you guys say?
Yeah, again, we've only had what, 5, 6 games.
Yeah, no, we just wanted to get
split squad games.
We just wanted to get an
episode.
Sometimes
we just need to talk baseball, right? We don't need to have big updates every time.
Well, and like we said, we want to get.
We said we would mention it, and so I'll mention it. We got a Spencer Jones sighting.
We did.
How do we go with the whole time?
I don't even know. But yeah, Spencer Jones looks great.
Oh, because we're also not going to overreact.
Peralta's contract with the Padres.
Yeah, we're not people who overreact. Anyways.
We got to look at Spencer Jones, and he's gigantic, just like, you know, the comparison that everyone wants to make. We're not going to make it, but he's huge, and he has a couple hits. He hit a home run.
He's like 5 RBIs already.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does have. He has 5 hits. He's got 4 RBIs.
Wow, Andrew didn't even know the amount of RBIs
but
he
Yankees
has.
Went out there on the first spring training game and dropped a 20-piece because they just have to let everyone know that they're back.
It's so brand that game wasn't even televised, too.
The first game.
Like, how do we know it happened?
Man, the Yankees are back.
It's all AI. Everything you saw on Twitter is AI.
But yeah, You know what?
You want to do? How about
Luigi's
this?
Not here. What are we doing?
A one-liner. What's your way too little information crazy prediction for the season?
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, that's going to make us think, though. Gee, you're making us think. How about you go first?
All right, I'll go first. Garrett Cole, back-to-back Cy Young.
Yeah.
All right.
Do what we want to see or what we think is going to happen?
Just a prediction, something that could, would, should, you would like.
Andrew, you should do a negative prediction because that's on brand.
Bring that up right now. Yeah.
All right, and I'll do kind of a mid-range one. I think that at the end of the season, Clay Holmes is not going to be the Yankees closer.
Okay.
Because they're going to trade for Emmanuel Clase. Got it.
Sure. Let's go with that. It could be because they trade for a closer. It could be that Clay sucks. Who's to say? But that's my prediction.
All right. For me, not going to be as much of a prediction as just I need to see more from Oswald Peraza this year. Like, if he doesn't make any meaningful impact this year, then he's cooked as a prospect, right? The Yankees failed to move him when he had any value. He made a couple errors in one game already, the split squad game. And it sucks. Like, I don't want him to get way too many opportunities necessarily either, unless there's injury, right? Like, if DJ's there, if we have Glaber, obviously, there's, I don't know.
The idea of Oswald Peraza was
wanting to see more of him, because I want the guys who are supposed to be there to just be healthy.
Yeah,
the idea of Oswald Peraza was like really exciting a year and a half ago.
The problem with him is that he just has never had a spot on the team.
There's a lot lost on that star.
He's never had a clear cut like chance for playing time, except for the injuries last year, and when he was getting, you know, semi regular at bats, he wasn't producing.
Josh Donaldson ruined Oswald Peraza's career.
Well,
untrue.
Well, we had a Josh Donaldson mention on this show, so
in the year of our
really got to shut it down.
I think we definitely got a call before we completely fill out our bingo cards for a podcast episode. All right, I'll do the Luigi outro because he's not here. For Andrew, for G, for Alex, this has been the Bronx Bobber Babble podcast, brought to you by Six Pack Coverage, and baseball is still back.